So this one's asking for the long view, really, and for some imagination, I think, that the effects of our actions go on into rebirths and into realms I cannot yet see and would never choose if I could. It asks us to realise we have a choice about how we respond to those facts of human existence. They don't have to be only faults for us. So that's some of what this fact is talking about. But it's strong stuff. It seems strong stuff to me. So it occurred to me, what can help us do this? And three things came to my mind. One, remember, all things arise out of conditions. Remember, as Vasubandhu says, these factors are about setting up the basis for realisation, for generating the Bodhi resolve. So these are about laying the ground on which it can arise. So when the going gets tough, in factor two, go back to factor one. And connect again with your own potential to grow. Go back to the Buddha. Go back to your own potential for enlightenment, embodied in the figure of the Buddha. Or go back to the 10 factors in chapter 1 of this text, which are a set of conditions that help the practice. In fact, are probably indispensable, some of them anyway, for the practice. And notice if these have fallen away. Notice if they've fallen away. And if they have, build them back up again. Let that be the first thing you do. Build them back up again. Build faith in your own capacity to practice. So secondly, remember faith. Call on your faith, like the Buddha calling on the earth goddess. Be clear what the practice needs, so that you can bring it. Remember, this fact is not asking for stoicism. It's not asking for us just to bear it, having a body and it's going to go and it's going to break down before it does, probably. It's not asking us just to endure. It's asking for the qualities of faith. It's asking for clear-sightedness and a certain fearless quality. We ignore such a lot, but it's in our nature to see, to open up to what we can recognise for ourselves as true. It asks for an intimate, even an empathetic quality, to make this mine, to find it in my own life, recognise its relevance and its helpfulness in my own life. There's a shared quality, an esteemed quality to faith, a deeper recognition that the values that we hold, we share with others. They don't have to remain private. That's one thing that's so great about a retreat like this. My values aren't only my values. They are greatly shared also. They can be lived out. They can become a world. And a robust, steady quality to faith. We don't have to be made weak by our fear of pain or our need for pleasure. We can open up, we can open ourselves up to more than that. We have more resilience than that. More resources than that. And we can make bigger shifts than we might expect. And the last thing I just want to say is remember metta. Remember metta. But remember that metta is not a vedana. I've been hitting my team over the head with this the last few days. Remember, metta is not a vedana. Bhante says somewhere. We're doing a difficult practice. We're asking ourselves to come into relation with feelings, with vedana, that all our conditioning says run from. Remember, we don't need to like what we feel. We still feel it. We don't need to like it. We don't have to like it. Metta isn't about liking anything. It doesn't come from such a sort of preferential place in our being. Nor is it something that automatically arises on the basis of contact. Vedana does that, that often unacknowledged initial sense, I like that, I don't like that. Metta is not like this. It can overflow into feeling, but it's an attitude, it's an outlook, it's a volition, it's an orientation, it's a choice, it's a decision even. Of course feelings flow from that, but it doesn't necessarily automatically arise. But we can build it. We can choose it time and time again. So somehow, despite what can feel like the heaviness of this factor, when I read it, I again each time just get left with this sense of something that Rilke talks about when he's talking about the unicorn, this mythical beast, the unicorn. Just where he says, always leave some space so that it can lightly rear its head. Sort of a bit like metta. In a way, that sense of metta as a decision is a bit like choosing to always leave a bit of space around something so that something else, something helpful, can lightly rear its head. Yeah. So they're the factors, really, under this particular contemplation of the faults of conditioned existence, which in many ways, as I'm sure you've realised, is a movement from suffering to faith. So that's enough, I'm sure.